Best if you open your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And we're going to continue to speak this morning and talk about making tough decisions. Last week, Lynette and I got to meet our grandson, who will be born in April. And we went and had one of those 4D ultrasounds done. And that was fantastic. He's a good-looking kid. Looks a lot like me, but that was amazing. Little tiny fingers and big old fat lips, and at one point he even opened his eyes, you know, and that was an amazing experience. Little Ethan is on his way, or as we're going to call him, E-Dog. I didn't come up with that one. Marie Catherine Neubauer wrote a poem called "It's All About Choices." Let me read it to you. Each man's life as a winding maze with countless paths and their set days, free to choose which paths they'll take, free to determine the life they'll make. The paths we choose may seal our fate. Some choose to love, some to hate. Some live their days in anger and strife with pain and bitterness in their life. Some live their lives in peace and love with unquenchable joy from God above. For Christ changes lives and forgives sin. But each man must choose to invite Him in. 2 Chronicles 15 is a chapter about a man with choices to make. The man Asa has some tough decisions to decide upon. And so let's read this chapter together, and then we'll take a closer look at 6 decisions that Asa made that would change his life and that would end up changing the nation which he was leading. 2 Chronicles 15. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa, and he said to him, "Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with Him. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the land. So nation was destroyed by nation, and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage, and he removed the abominable idols from all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim, and he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. And then he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and those who dwelt with them from Ephraim, Manasseh, Simeon, for they came over to him in great numbers from Israel, when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered together at Jerusalem in the 3rd month, in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered to the Lord at that time 700 bulls, and 7,000 sheep from the spoil they had brought. And then they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all of their soul. And whoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel was put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And then they took an oath before the Lord with a loud voice, with shouting and trumpets and ram's horns. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with all their soul, and He was found by them, and the Lord gave them rest all around. Also, he removed Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, from being queen mother, because she had made an obscene image of Asherah. And Asa cut down her obscene image, then crushed and burned it by the brook Kidron. But the high places were not removed from Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was loyal all his days. He also brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and utensils. And there was no war until the 25th year of the reign of Asa. Six things, beloved, that Asa decided. Number one, Asa decided to live his life and base his decision on the Word of God. In the first seven verses of this chapter, we read that for a time there was no teaching priest. Now, does this mean that Judah had no priest? No, they had lots of them. Does America have preachers? Lots of them. But more and more, the church in America has less and less an appetite for the Word of God. And more in the pulpits of America, I'm afraid, are delivered these fluffy little sermons about feeling good and doing good and politics and social misjustice. I can't even say misjustice, let alone preach about it. And I tell you, I gotta laugh, you know, when I see the flyers come in the mail I'm gonna do another 7 week long series about the successful life of a Christian. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, man, that would be nice to have 7 weeks off. For too long, Israel had gotten away from the Word of God. And what happened when that happened to the nation of Judah, beloved? They got away from God, and God left them. He forsook them. I have to tell you, I'm upset about Tuesday. I'm upset. And I'm never going to tell you who to vote for. You know, I used to say, I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Look at the back of my Jeep. I got nothing on the back of my Jeep. If you're going to vote from the back of my Jeep, you're going to vote for a man named Harley Davidson. I was looking, and I have been looking on the internet. God bless you, Susan, wherever you are. I got an email from Susan saying, isn't this interesting? And I answered her right back, and I said, God bless you, Susan, for doing your homework. Check out this website, and this website, and this website. I've been on their websites. I've been watching, and I was on the website the other day of perhaps the person that's going to be our next president. It's looking that way. And there was a button, faith. And so I want to know about this person's faith. And so I clicked on that button. And I sat for 3 minutes while this person said, I am a person of faith. I've always been a person of faith. In the tough times that I've had, it's been my faith that has gotten me through. I know that there's a greater being. I've always trusted in a greater being. And the greater being has always gotten me through. I felt a little sick after listening to this. The person can never bring themselves to say God or Jesus. And I got to thinking, what would you think of me, church, if I said, church, can I just tell you how much I appreciate the female species in my house? For 31 years, I've been married to this female species, and this female species and I have grown close over the years. I've just enjoyed living with this female species, and morning after morning, this female species and I just rise up and we live our days out together, and this female species has just made my life. What would you think if I spoke of the love of my life as a female species? You would think, you're sick, man. What is the matter with you? And so I don't want to hear from a candidate that's probably going to lead the country that this, I'm trying not to say he or her, that this person is just, you know, moved by the fact that there's a greater being. Well, there's two greater beings at work in this world. Amen? And one is Satan and one is God. So which one are you talking about? Asa decided, the prophet of God has heard from God. I'm going to live my life by the word of God. I'm going to do that. Church, pray. Pray that God gives us a president. I don't care what color this president is. I don't care what gender this president is. I don't care what party this president is. I really don't. I want a president that's going to get up in the morning and say to their chief of staff, leave me alone. I got to get in the Word. God, speak to me. Speak to me. I need to hear your words, Lord. God, I got to make some decisions. I got to send some young people to their death. I need a word from you, God. I need your word in my life. I don't want a God that gets up and says to his chief of staff, hey, did you hear anything from the greater being this morning? No, me neither. All right, well, let's do the best we can. Now you got to go home this morning and look at all the websites and find the greater being speech. Number two, Asa decided to separate himself from compromisers. Oh, this is hard. This is hard, and it's in verse 8. This is a hard thing. We've done this at Calvary Chapel as a movement. 1,100 churches in this movement, and we have made this tough decision, and it's not been a popular one, but we are not going to make this book second fiddle to any man, to any publisher, to any book. We're not going to do it. And we're not going to bring in a program and for 12 weeks put this book on the shelf and teach you from a best-selling book. I don't care how many millions of copies have been sold, and I don't care who writes it. We're not going to put down the Bible for the words of man. We're not going to do that. And yeah, I would love it if 1,000 people would try to cram in here some morning, but there's just not that appetite in Simi Valley for the pure Word of God. Verse after verse and chapter after chapter. But you got an appetite like that. And then can I just tell you something? Your life is going to be smoother and better, and you're going to walk loyally with the Lord all your life if you stay in His Word and you make your decisions according to His Word. You're going to stay married. You're going to stay happy. You're going to stay content. You're going to stay useful. You're going to stay joyful. You're going to have tough days?
Yeah.
Yes! You're going to make it through those tough days? Yes, you are. I promise you, you are. And so we're going to have to separate ourselves from compromisers. And for some of you, like Asa, you might even have to say, Mom, I'm not going to serve the world. And I know you're not going to like this, but I'm not going to come and take you grocery shopping on Sunday morning. I'll come and take you grocery shopping Sunday afternoon. But Sunday morning, I'm going to be in church. And I invite you to come along as well, Mom. But I'm not going to compromise my life for you. Son and daughter, I know that you want to play soccer. And that's a good sport. And I'm just telling you, we're not going to play soccer on Sunday morning. What happened to our country that we have children's sports programs on Sunday morning? We're not going to do it. And I know you're not going to like it, but this is what we're going to do. And you know what, moms and dads? While your kids live under your roofs, it's okay to tell them you will go to church. You will go to church. When our kids finished high school, we told them, here's the plan. You're going to pay rent. You're going to, yeah, it's not free for us to live here. Guess what? It's not free for you to live here either, unless there are two things that you will do to avoid paying us rent. One is you will go to church. Go to church, guess what? rent free. Oh, and you will go to school. You go to church, you go to school, rent free. Now for some of you, maybe discounted rent. I see people looking around. But you will go to church and you will go to school. And that's the house rules. Period. Well, I don't like those house rules. Well, guess what? It's raining outside and it's about 48 degrees. It's a lot more pleasant inside this house than it is out there. And that's just the way it is. And we're not going to compromise that. And if you want to separate yourself from the house rules, that's fine. Leave home while you're a teenager and you still know everything, right? Number three, Asa decided to sacrifice and worship to the Lord in verse 11. And church, can I just tell you something? There's two things that God really, really, really loves from you. One is faith. And He'll do whatever it takes to invoke faith in you. He will. He'll send you to the operating room. Right, Roger? He'll knock you off your feet. Right, Danny and Arlene? He'll tighten up your finances. He'll take your health. He'll just whatever it takes to invoke faith in us. Not to punish us, just to invoke faith. He loves faith. And He'll do whatever it takes in your life to get you to have faith in Him. It's usually not winning the lottery that invokes faith in us, is it? It's tough times. It's tough days. It's horrible circumstances. It's the call from the doctor. It's the call from school. It's the you know, I can still remember being in the work world. My boss, yeah, let's meet for lunch and I'll buy. Uh-oh. Your job has been reassigned. And then what does it take to live a joyful life? Faith. And God loves it. He loves it. What's the other thing? Worship. He loves worship. He loves for you to have faith in Him, and He loves it when you worship. He especially loves you to worship Him when it requires faith. That's the best. That's the ultimate. Driving home from losing your job, and you look up through your windshield. I don't know what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you on this one, God. He loves that. Loves it. And that's what Asa decided to do. In the midst of all this, the blood is flowing at the vestibule as Asa is worshiping the Lord and making the sacrifices of worship. Number four, Asa decided to enter into the covenant relationship with God. Beloved, it scares me to think that there might still be somebody who week after week sits amongst us and has yet to enter into the covenant relationship with God. You love church, you love God's people, you might even love God, but you have yet to give Him your life. You have yet to say, "All right, God, I'm releasing the pink slip of my life to You, and now You own me. You are now my shepherd. I am one of Your sheep. You are going to make the calls from now on. God, be my Savior. Forgive me of my sins." Friend, if you have yet to enter into that covenant relationship with God, stop stalling, because there's no guarantee that you'll have tomorrow. So make that decision today. Enter into that covenant relationship with the Lord. And I just love that Asa calls everybody together and he says, "We're going to enter into this covenant relationship with God." And number five, he goes a little far with it in verse 13. He says, "You're going to live with the Lord, or you're going to die without Him." That would separate the men from the boys, wouldn't it? I mean, God has a way of doing that anyhow. But Asa decided, "I'm going to live with the Lord or I'm going to die without Him." And as extreme as that may sound, may I just tell you something? That's the way it's going to be. That is the way it's going to be. You're going to live with the Lord or you're going to die without Him. And you don't want to do that. You do not want to do that. I know it sounds foolish, but I've actually met people who are waiting to the end of their life to give their lives to the Lord. Foolish. Foolish, don't do it. Because it's not about dying with God, it's about living with Him. And then dying is just graduation day. It's just a transfer. And lastly, in verse 17, I love this, that Asa decided to be loyal to the Lord all of the days of his life. Loyal all the days of his life. In some of your versions, it will say that he was perfect all the days of his life. Was he? No. No. Any perfect people here this morning? No? Oh, they must be down the street. How many perfect people were born and walked this earth in perfection, beloved? Let me see the number. One. One. Jesus Christ. The rest of us, just cleaned up waste cans, hoping to be used for God. Amen? That's us. That's who we are. Wanting to walk as close to Him, as much like Him, but needing every now and then to get what? Washed. Washed. I took the old Jeep to the car wash this week, and look what happened. I apologize. But you know what? I'm starting to see little like sprouts of things growing off the front hood of the thing. I need to go get it clean. And sometimes that's how we are. We just need to stop, pause. God, cleanse me. Clean me up. Forgive me, Lord. And He's so happy to do it. Well, let me share another poem with you. This is written by Jeff Breezy. I paused to stand and watch a man who had come to the road's divide. My wonder soared as I watched his stare slowly shift from side to side. He stood as if not noticing that many passed him by, then moved without a second glance down the road most traveled by. Then as I watched, he stepped full stride toward the path of lesser wear. And soon he vanished from my view, round the bend into the snare. I soon, like him, stood center road, faced with that daunting choice. My gaze down his road, causing fear, I quenched my inner voice. For miles I walked the crowded road, breathing dust from others' feet. Till in despair I stopped and stood, my heart and soul deplete. I gazed about, still holding hope, the other path I'd see. On yonder hill I saw him there, the man who mentored me. The path between us, steep and rough, unforged with dangers there. Yet still I left my path of friends, ignoring their bewares. I pressed through hardship, pain and fear, o'er rocks jagged and bent. In time I crashed limp on that path, my every resource spent. But then a warming touch I felt, a friendly voice I heard. It said, get up and tread this path. I rose without a word. As I looked, I saw him there. He continued on his way. His only words as he walked on, you're on the path, now stay. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood. And sorry, I chose an error. But looking back, perhaps as well, all memories now seem fair. Much time I spent on the beaten path, and what I learned, immense. But I reached, at last, the other path, and it has made all the difference. With apologies, of course, to Robert Frost. Beloved, who is your mentor in this life? Who is it that you're watching down the path? Is it Oprah? Dr. Phil? Phil Donahue? I don't know. Who is it? Who is it?
Jesus
Christ, of course. He's our mentor. He's been down the path. And so if Christ is your mentor, six things. You've heard him before, recently. One, decide to live your life based on his word. Number two, decide to separate yourself from compromisers, and don't let them lead you astray. Number three, decide to sacrifice and worship to the Lord. Oh, you've made that decision by being here this morning, and I tell you, good job. Good job. You made a good decision this morning. Number four, decide to enter into that covenant relationship with God. Number five, decide to live with the Lord or die without Him. And number 6, be loyal to Him all the days of your life. Was Asa a perfect man? No. And Thursday night we will study a temporary lapse in his faith. But you know the beautiful thing about it is that God, like that shepherd downstream, was just waiting for him to come tumbling down and scoop him up. And we'll study that on Thursday night. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? Our worship team is going to come back up and lead us in another song. Beloved, aren't you so glad for God's mercy and grace? Aren't you? That no matter what we do, no matter what we think, no matter what we say, though our sins be as scarlet, that He is ready, willing, He's actually anxious to wipe your record white as snow. And so would you just take a minute and tell Him in a prayer how much you appreciate that. That word clean means just like new. So He can take our old, battered, tired, salty, dirty heart and just make it brand new. That beloved, is the difference between Christianity and all those cults and religions out there. Is that we serve a God that wants to take your heart and make it brand new. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Would you stand with me? May the Lord bless you and keep you and make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance and give you peace. Amen. God bless you, church. Ladies, hurry right over for a delicious lunch of lettuce with Lynette over at the Elephant Bar. And if you need prayer, come on down here. We'd love to pray with you. God bless you, church.